This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I got this in India. You like my jacket thingy? Huh? They made it there in the mountains. In the foothills of the Himalayas, they made this thing. It's cool, eh? Yeah, we got these as a gift. It's really cool. It's actually nice and warm. I think it's proper wool or something, but they wear it up there where it gets quite cold. Great. We had a great time in the Cape, and it's good to take a break. We are very blessed to have a few days that was really warm. High 20s, even low 30s, so it was almost like summer, and we actually went to the beach. That was amazing. Children had a great time, which was amazing. And it's just good to be back. We had a really great time in India. I'll be sharing a bit more about that later. But it's just good to be here. It's such a blessing. And it's always good to be home, right? Okay. This week, Emily had an injury. Emily is our 2-year-old. She loves the trampoline, and she got a gift as a trampoline. Obviously, it's for all the children, but some of the family from overseas contributed, so we got for her second birthday, we bought a trampoline, and she really loves it. And this week, I don't know what she did, but she was going ballistic on it like she normally does, and she, I don't know, something twisted or something, but she was big drama. You know, she's quite vocal. And so she was just going bossy. It's very, very painful. And we thought, okay, cool, like normal. Maybe in a half an hour she would have forgotten about it. But then the next day, she still remembered, which means it's probably sore. Because children, if they don't forget about something, then probably there is some pain. And I asked her where it is. Where is the pain? And then actually she pointed to the same place every time. So I thought, okay, that looks like there might be something. Anyway, so we hadn't taken her to the doctor yet, but we prayed that it wasn't better. But then yesterday morning, David is not so keen to pray for Emily. David is the brother, he's turning 5. He's keen to pray for most people, but for some reason he doesn't want to pray for Emily. I think he's discriminating against her. But then I had not convinced him to pray, and he laid hands on her, and she was better. Yeah, within a minute or so, she was on her feet, and she was going for it. So I was like, hallelujah. anyways, praise God. There's no junior Holy Spirit. Amen? Same Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Great. So I have a really cool image that you can't see at all. If you... Sitting on that slide, I'm sorry, you'll have to probably look here. Hopefully you'll be able to see the scriptures. Let's start. Let's start with Acts chapter 1. And we see, that's not great. Any case, we'll read it together. Acts chapter 1. Actually, I just want to pray for us briefly. Father, we thank you that as we get into the word, we can trust for your presence here. We thank you that you are with us. Holy Spirit, that you are our teacher, that you lead us into all truth. We bring our hearts before you. We thank you that we can come with the confidence of your goodness and your glory and your great faithfulness. Thank you that we can come with the confidence in your word. And as we draw near to you, that you draw near to us, Lord. And that's our desire this morning, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and transform us, and that your name be glorified in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we see at the beginning of Acts chapter 1, this is basically a couple of weeks after Jesus' death. He rose from the grave. He's been interacting with his followers and first a few at a time, and then big crowds. At one time, 500 people saw him. is the risen Christ, and he's imparting to them. And then we know right towards the end, he gives his last instructions, right? We call it the Great Commission. He sends his disciples, he says, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. He gives those kind of, he hands over the baton, he gives the instructions. He said, you need to finish the work. And that's still the commission which we run with, right? That's still our mandate. And he, you know, he sends us into the world, and he sends his disciples out there, and he says, talks about Jerusalem and Judea and some, you know, Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And there's this, you know, expectation. And then there's a part where he says, greater things will you do with it. That I do, even greater things you will do. But then we see something very important here in Acts chapter 1 verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. So he gives them these very important instructions, and he gives them this mandate, this commission. But then he says, wait. Before you go, he commands them. He doesn't say, he doesn't suggest, he doesn't say, if you think, or maybe, or if you feel like it, hang around a bit. He says, commands them, do not depart. Before you go to the ends of the earth, before you go with this great commission, there's something very important that needs to happen. In fact, you cannot go unless you have waited for the promise. Can you see that? So he gives them, he imparts these kind of last wishes to them, but this is wait before, he commands them, before you go, do not depart, but wait for the promise. Wait to receive the promise before you go. So that sounds important, right? Sounds like being sent out to battle, sent out to conquer, but you need something. You need this very important promise. So wait for the promise. Let's go on to the next one in John chapter 14. This is a while before that. And he says, verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Let's read the next one as well. Verse John 7. Actually, before we get to that. So he speaks here of another helper. He says, this is the promise that he's been talking about. He says, do not go. And then when he refers to the Holy Spirit in John 14, he says, I will pray, and the Father will give you another helper. The word that they're referring to is called parakletos, is the Greek word, and it means to come alongside. And he says to these, basically saying to them, guys, this is the most important thing, is for you to go to all the nations, but you cannot go without the helper. Stay in Jerusalem. I command you, stay there to wait for the promise. And not that many ended up staying and waiting, because there were about 500 people around when he was giving these last instructions, and there were only 120 that ended up in the upper room that waited and you know, persisted. But he says, I will give you another helper, and he will abide with you forever. Isn't that a great promise? The Spirit of truth. And he says, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Not only with us, not only accompanying us, not only coming alongside us, but inside us. The Parakletos, the helper that is in us, the same Spirit, the same power that rose Christ from the dead, is in us and with us. This is what they needed to wait for. Amen? This is what they couldn't go without. This is what he was saying. I command you, you need to wait to receive this promise. Let's go on to the next one in John 7. On the last day, from verse 37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So before the Holy Spirit could come, Jesus had to be glorified. He had to ascend, and then the Holy Spirit would be given. He speaks of rivers of living water that will flow out of those who believe, out of the innermost being, out of their hearts. And then I just want to add this in here that there's not only, there's two dimensions here. There's one dimension that the power of the Holy Spirit empowers us to minister, yes, to take the Great Commission. But the other dynamic is, he says, come to me all who are thirsty. So there's another dynamic of our relationship and our dependence upon the Holy Spirit is that when we are thirsty, when we need Jesus, he speaks of himself as the living water. Come to me and drink. And then he says, out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. So there's an overflow happening here. Can you see that? There's a receiving of living water, and then there's rivers of living water flowing out. He spoke concerning the Spirit, that those whom those believing in him would receive. Okay, so there we see who would receive the Holy Spirit, of those who believe in him. Let's continue. I'm just laying a bit of a foundation of the scriptures. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, I think this must have puzzled the disciples at this point. Because, they're not at the cross yet. Jesus hasn't died yet. He hasn't risen yet. And he said to them, I have to go away. I have to go to my Father. And then he says something that must have really bowled them. He says, it is to your advantage that I go. Can you imagine that you've spent 3 years with Jesus, the Son of God? You've seen this guy raise people from the dead. You've seen people healed left, right, and center. You've seen miracles like never before. You've seen thousands of people have been fed, crazy miracles happening. And then he says, it's better. It's better if I go. I think they all think, listen, let's take a vote on this one because I don't think we agree. It's not better. This is great. Can't you see what's happening? But he says, no, it's better that I go, because then I will send you the Helper. Jesus was as the Son of God, but as fully man, limited to one place at one time at that point. But the Holy Spirit is not. Amen. He's with every believer all over the globe in the fullness of God's power. At the same time. And I think that's better. Amen? So he says, it's to your advantage that I go. And he says, if I depart, I will send him to you. So at that point, it might have sounded to them, this can't be. What can be better than to have Jesus with us? What can be better than to have the Son of God with us? But he says, this Helper that I'm sending you, it's better. It's to your advantage that he is with you. Okay, let's go on to the Acts again. We're going back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And then he gives the key here. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And we read further on, as they were in one accord, as they were praying together, as they were worshiping together, they were in unity. They've been waiting a while now already. But they were in unity, they were praying in one accord. And then there was a sound like that of a mighty rushing wind. And the Holy Spirit filled the place, and there were fire. There were literally tongues of fire on each person. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they received power. Power to be witnesses. And he says, let's see what he says. You see, you will receive power, and then the direct outflow of that power that you will receive, and you will be my witnesses. Not only here in Jerusalem where you live, not only in Judea, in your area, in your province, but also in Samaria, which is beyond cultural boundary. There was a cultural difference and lots of differences there between them. They didn't really speak to the Samaritans, you know, they didn't have a cool relationship with them. So beyond all those boundaries, there you will go as well. Different people groups, different nations, different cultures. And it says, and to the ends of the earth. And we were in India now at the pastor's conference there. What a blessing and what a privilege that we have to be involved with the Himalaya Network. It's a network of ministers that minister in the Himalaya area. And some up in near Pakistan. There's some that we've met now that ministering to the Tibetan refugees that are in living in India now. They're in exile. And so all those areas up in the north of India, primarily in the Himalaya Mountains, up in Nepal, Bhutan, even Bangladesh, and a lot of the world's unreached people groups are in that specific area. So what a blessing that we are able to be involved. But it was such a blessing, you know, even in that group of people, about 60-odd people, there were so many different languages and so many different backgrounds. Really incredible. Even, you know, India in itself has got about 600 different dialects. The one guy, he was telling us that him and his wife, they grew up about a mile from each other, not very far, you know, a kilometer or two. That's where they grew up close to one another, but they can't understand each other's dialect. It's so diverse. There's so many different dialects. And so even in this group, there were so many different languages, which was a challenge, but we managed. But what was so amazing is the Spirit is the same. The same Spirit. And it feels like family there, because it is family. Because it's the same Spirit. We may eat slightly different food, so we had to deal with that. We might do things a bit differently. All of us look different, although many of them are from India and surrounds. They all look, you know, different. The Naga tribe they don't look Indian at all. But we all have the same Spirit. And it was so precious to experience that unity of the Spirit. We have received the same power. And they're going to the ends of what's possible there. You know, some of the teams that we send to help the guys up in the mountains, they fly, like we try to get cheap flights, so it's sometimes three legs that we fly, and then they travel by train maybe for a day, and then they travel by 4x4 for another day, and then they walk for 2 days to get to those villages up there. Some have never seen Westerners. There's one guy that was on the conference. He's a bit disabled. He's in a wheelchair. He's got a bit of a speech impediment as well. He's apparently the only believer in his village where he comes from. And he's now being discipled by some of the leaders that we're working with. But apparently the first time they met this guy, one of the teams gave him a mega voice. A mega voice is a great device. It's a small little solar-powered thing that it's got an audio Bible on it. So they gave him a New Testament so you could listen to that in a solar-powered. And he was so happy, and apparently that's all he does, almost all he does all day, because when they saw him again a year or so later, this thing was completely like taped, kept together by tape and grace. You know, he's obviously been using it properly. And he was so hungry for the word, and he had been listening to it, and they gave him a full version, like a new one, of, you know, the complete Bible and audio, and apparently he was just overjoyed. And when we saw him now, it was so evident that he's so full of the word. He's a young guy, I think he's still in his teens. So full of the word. And when we got to praying for the Holy Spirit and for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, he immediately received the Holy Spirit and was praying in tongues louder than everybody else and just going for it. And I was so blessed by his hunger. Hunger for God. Hunger for the Holy Spirit. Hunger for the Word. And I believe he's going to have a massive impact in his village, amen? Because he's just so full of Jesus. But he's received power. And he's being a witness there, amen? Now, we were, the people we're working with there, most of the pastors are from a conservative background. So many of them, most of them do adult baptism, but they traditionally don't minister around the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. But we were so excited this time around because they actually asked, they said, listen guys, can we do the theme of the conference? Can it be the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? And we were like, what? Yes, let's do that, you know. So we did the School of the Supernatural. We added some extra meat around some of the teachings. But it was so incredible to see them recognize the need for them to be empowered by the Spirit. I mean, the guys minister in difficult circumstances. The one pastor there had been in jail for a while recently. I remember seeing him at the previous Pastor Summit, the conference that I could attend, it was in 2015, and he was experiencing tough times in his area of ministry, and now I heard he was in jail for a while, imprisoned because of him preaching the gospel. So the guys are living on the edge of, they know what persecution is about, they know what it's like to be imprisoned for your faith, they know those kind of things, it's not theory for them. But yet they carry on. And yet that guy's always got the biggest smile on his face when you're talking about, he doesn't understand English so well. So I'm always, you know, I don't know if he understands. I mean, we chat about stuff, and I'm not sure whether he understands everything. But he's always just smiling, you know, he's so joyful. And he's full of the power of the Holy Spirit. We receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. So we were ministering and we were trusting God for not only to teach about the gifts and to teach about the Holy Spirit, but we were trusting for God to demonstrate that power and to demonstrate those gifts. That's always a challenge because now you've done your teaching and now you need to, you know, demonstrate. But the Lord was so faithful. Even before we started with the teaching, during worship, the Lord was already ministering to people. Even the first evening, there were words of knowledge and words of wisdom and words of prophecy, and there were healings. By the time we got to the teachings, God had already demonstrated. Amen. And people were hungry to receive. By the end, they were ministering to one another. It was so amazing to see. They've received power to be ministers, to be witnesses. Now, what I felt God laying on my heart, preparing, is that have we started off with that and somehow lost an urgency around this, around living in the power of the Holy Spirit? I want us to look briefly at the example of Peter in terms of the empowerment that happened. If you remember Peter, he was a bit of a, he was a bold guy, right? He was the guy that said to Jesus, when he had to, Jesus said, I need to go to the cross. Actually, just before that, he had this massive revelation about Jesus. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And he got the revelation. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then soon after that, and there's a massive, you know, there's a moment there, and Jesus said to him, wow, this is amazing. This you have received from the Father, this revelation. And then just soon after that, Jesus says, I have to, you know, die and I have to suffer. And then Peter says, no way, it's not going to happen. And then Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan, you know. So he's always like on the edge there. And he's the one that steps out of the boat. He says to, you know, Jesus, call me out and I'll come to you on the water. He's the guy that when they come to arrest Jesus, he kind of defends with the sword. He chops the one guy's ear off. You know, so he's there, he's ready. And Jesus puts his ear back, you know, says, no, chill out. Anyway, so before, leading up to the cross, you know, he says he will never, you know, he's going to stick with Jesus with thick and thin. And then Jesus says to him, listen, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And it happens exactly like that. And this is, it must have been the worst moment for Peter. But in that moment of fear, in that moment of, you know, uncertainty, what's going on, their Messiah is busy dying. Most of the disciples desert him, and Peter also. And Peter hangs around, but every time people ask him, he says, no, I don't know this guy, I don't know who he is. There's fear there, there's uncertainty. Their whole hope for grand glory and deliverance is busy falling to pieces. And then Christ dies. But I want to remind us that just after this Pentecost moment in Acts that we read about, there's chaos there that happens. People are speaking in tongues in different languages. People are noticing they're speaking in different languages. They're saying, what's going on? And then Peter gets up. Peter gets up, the same Peter that was afraid to mention the name of Jesus in front of a servant girl. That same Peter gets up. And they say that after his first sermon, because that was the first sermon of the church, the New Testament church, 3,000 were added to the church. 3,000 people. So there must have been a crowd bigger than 3,000, unless it was 100% conversion rate. But I reckon there must have been more than 3,000 there. So he gets up after being so afraid, after denying Christ. What has changed? I'd say two things have changed. Number one is Christ restored him. Remember that moment when he restores him and he asks him, do you love me? And then he says, yes. And he asks him three times. And then he says, okay, tend my sheep, feed my lambs. And the second thing that happened is that he has received power from the Holy Spirit. And that Peter that was powerless and fearful and, you know, wanting to be bold but not denying Christ, he gets up and he preaches the word with power. And 3,000 souls commit and turn to Christ. I don't know about you, but I'd like to see that change in many lives. I mean, do we have that same dynamic in our own lives? I remember coming from a place of not being able to mention the name of Jesus, even as a believer. I was fearful. I was full of the fear of man until I was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I was an incredibly shy person. I used to hide away when visitors came to visit our house, when guests came or people. I used to hide sometimes. And then even when I was kind of pulled out to come and greet people, I wasn't so keen, you know. Until the power of the Holy Spirit came upon me, things were different. I believe God is wanting to stir something in our hearts. Around, even if I believe some of you have started their walk with God under the power of the Holy Spirit, but somehow have become just a little bit stagnant. Those rivers of living water have maybe become a little bit stagnant. They're not gushing anymore. It's slowed down. I believe God wants to stir in our hearts about that this morning. Let's go on to 1 Corinthians. I want us to look at Paul writes to the Corinthian church regarding the Holy Spirit. And it's clear from this writing that he's not introducing the subject to them. They've already experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. They've already experienced the gifts in their services. And he's basically giving them direction. He's giving them some teaching around it. He says, listen, when you do it like this and this, and don't let everybody do it at once. Then nobody's edified. You know, take turns prophesying, and he gives some direction about how it should happen. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Don't remain ignorant. You know, inform yourself, you know, read the word. And then he goes on, he introduces, well, not introduces, he kind of explains, he says, these are the gifts, the nine gifts, and he explains a little bit. And then he goes on, please go and read it, the whole chapter there, he goes on to talk about the body. He talks about the different members. The eye can't be on its own, you know, all the different members, everybody comes together, and every member, you know, plays their role. And it's so important that we see the context in which he explains the gifts. He says, these are the gifts. The body has to work together, right? And then he goes on to 1 Corinthians 13. Love gives the context, how the motive. Can you see that? Then he goes back to the gifts in chapter 14. He says, these are the gifts. And he says, we cannot operate on our own. We need everybody. Last week, Phillips mentioned about, you know, how the fivefold minister's job is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And I say to us, guys, we need the whole body to do their bit. You know, if I for some reason injure my hand or my arm and I have to get amputated, it's going to severely affect my life, right? I will survive, yes. I'm not going to be ideal, though. My arm will not survive. Let's put that in there as well. My arm will not carry on its own. You agree? It works that way in church as well. Some believers believe that they can be okay without the local body. It can't work. We cannot have a relationship with the head and think we can diss the body or not have a relationship with his body. Are you with me? The local church is important. The limb, yes, it's not cool. The body will suffer without one of the members, but the member will die. The body will not be ideal, but will survive. But the member on its own will not survive. But we need, if I want to flourish, and if I want to do everything God has called me to do to the full, it's better for me to have all the members, right? It's the same with us, for this church family. Every gift adds to the whole, so that everybody may be edified. So he says, I do not want you to be ignorant. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 and 2, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. So he says, guys, just stop the boat there for a moment. All of this stuff is amazing. All of these gifts and healings and miracles and all of this stuff is incredible. But if you do not operate from love and out of a place of love, it's nothing. It means nothing. So he says, just let's bring this important context in here, in the love of God. That's how we minister. And then he goes back in 14 verse 1. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Are you and I desiring spiritual gifts? Is it something that we tolerate? You know, this funny church where they clap hands and they sometimes do these gifts things. Do we tolerate it, or is it something that we are earnestly desiring? Because we know it's going to edify the body. Because we know it's going to give us power to be witnesses. Power to do what God has called us to do. Power to go with the Great Commission. This thing that was so important that Jesus said, listen, before you go, you have to wait. Do not go without it. Are we desiring that in that way? Or are we just kind of managing it, or just idling it, or just cruising in it? Are we urgently pursuing love and desiring spiritual gifts? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. So Paul writes to Timothy, fan to a flame this gift. This fire that has been started in you. Don't let it die out. Don't neglect it. If you just leave a fire, it's going to probably go smaller and smaller. You have to feed it and fan it. And he says, "Yeah, fan. I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you." I feel there's some of us this morning that need to respond to that this morning. And I want to pray for us later that we would take a stand against that. I want to fan to flame the gift that I've received that is in me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Paul writing, he says, "When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I did not use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God." Now, this guy that's writing here is one of the most educated people of his time. So he had the academic background. He had the teaching and the qualifications. He had a lot of experience by this point as well. But can you see the humility in which he comes? He says, I was weak and timid and trembling. But I decided to... rather than using all that clever stuff that I could use, I said, I will rely only on the power of the Holy Spirit so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. And the word that I feel God is giving us this morning is saying, guys, some of us have started with the power of the Holy Spirit, but somehow we are now relying on human wisdom. And I had a funny example in my head this morning. You know, years ago, some of you may know the stories. There were at least three times that God gave me directions. One time was in Bangalore, when we were lost in the streets of Bangalore, and we prayed in the Spirit, and the Lord directed us turn for turn. If you've been in a major city in India, guys, it's the most chaotic thing. If you think our traffic is bad, that is absolutely crazy, you know. But they have traffic lights. They don't have robots. They have traffic lights. But the traffic lights are just like a suggestion, you know, because you would have the one direction of, you know, they would be going, the cars would be going, and the other side, the guys would just be creeping, closer. And then obviously on the ends, the lanes on the ends would start stopping. And then by the time the creeper's gone far enough, then they can't anymore. Then the other side is their turn, you know. They go. It's crazy. In any case, so we were in Bangalore, and we were completely didn't know where to go. And the Lord directed us turn for turn. And I thought we'd lost even worse. But then when we wanted to turn around, we looked to the side, and we were in front of the pastor's house. Hallelujah. And then once or twice the Holy Spirit did the same thing for me. And there was a while in my life where I remember when I had to pick a route, you know, especially when there's traffic involved, you have to pick a route. I used to pray, "So Lord, which way?" You know, and the Holy Spirit would direct me, not turn for turn, but which route was going to be better now, you know. But these days, I just use Waze. And it's a silly example, or Google Maps or whatever. Just check the traffic, you know. It's a silly example. Maybe obviously the Lord gives us tools and technology isn't from the devil, it's great. But the example here is that my default has gone from checking with the Holy Spirit to checking with Waze. And I just feel in a more significant way, many of us are wrestling with this, having that same place where is my default to grab the panada? Or because if you ask Emily, our 2-year-old, she doesn't know about panada. She just wants to pray. She wants to lay hands. When we pray in the evening, she's the first one that says, I want to pray. David is not always so keen, but she wants to pray. And if somebody else prays before her, she gets very upset. She's near, in any case, but what blesses me about the children's faith is that that's the default. But I find, how often is our default is human wisdom? And then when the human wisdom is run out, and we are at the end of everything, we're like, maybe we should pray. Or we're like, you know, this everything else is chaos, or nothing is working, and then we said, maybe we should pray about this. Don't you think that's upside down? So I feel many of us have started, or maybe you've never lived in that place of power. But so I feel God's saying some have been there, but now are finding yourself in a place where you're relying on human wisdom. And to a certain extent, your life is powerless. Yes, you know God's blessing. Yes, you know His provision. But there's something that has shifted. And I believe God is encouraging us this morning. Holy Spirit is saying, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. You will receive power. And you will be witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is not something that happens on a Sunday, guys. This is not something that happens when we come together on a Wednesday or on home groups or maybe explore groups only. This is everyday life. Like I say, the children remind me and they help me with this. But the other day I was at Spa there in the Cape, and as I was just queuing up to pay, the Lord said to me to say something to the lady at the till. I was like, oh Lord, really? And it was something about her daughter. And then I was like, oh, she looks so young. Maybe she doesn't even have a daughter in any case. But the Lord wanted to give her a promise. She hasn't got children yet, but I felt God wanted to give her a promise. But she was impacted by the love of God for her. The other day, we were busy with a mountain bike race, and it was the last day. And luckily, it was a long downhill at the end, which because I was pretty finished by then. But it was a 3-day thing. Long downhill, and on these downhills, you sometimes get traffic, you know. There's people that are a little bit more careful than you are. And it's a little bit frustrating, to be honest, because now you have to be on your brakes the whole time, and the people are being very careful. And there was this couple in front of us, and actually they were doing quite well. But there were these places where you could overtake, but I missed the place. I was a bit too careful for the overtaking place. But anyway, it's a long story. But while I was cycling behind them on the downhill, the Lord gave me a word for the people in front of me. Now, obviously, it's a difficult situation because I can't shout at them from behind. We're going quite fast. You know, it's like 40 k's an hour down a hill. But then I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust that because I did manage to get by them. I said, okay, I'll wait for them at the end. And then I hung around there at the end, and they finished, and I could share with them. But it's every day, right? It's not here and there. It's colleagues or friends or neighbors. It's your 2-year-old laying hands on you that you can be healed. It's a lifestyle. It's power to do what we have been called to do. And I feel this morning Holy Spirit is gently wanting to draw us back to the urgency. Not only in spiritual matters, that's the other thing. It's for your work situation. For what you're praying around for your family or your job or your challenges that you're facing. God wants to give you power and direction and wisdom. Not only for the body to be edified, but for you to be, and I to be blessed as well. But somehow, our default is to rely on human wisdom. Let's stand this morning. So, I want us to take a moment to pray. And if, let's just close our eyes. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, Lord. You gave your son. And then you said it's better for your son to go because you want to give us the Holy Spirit. That we have your presence and your power and your love and your grace with us and in us permanently. We thank you that you are so good to us. Thank you, Lord, that everyone that believes may ask you and receive the Holy Spirit. As every eye is closed, if you are here this morning and maybe that's, you have not yet taken that first step. Maybe you're still wrestling about this God thing and you, well, right now you know you're not in relationship with Him. Maybe right now you're convicted of things in your life, but you have not yet received His forgiveness. You've not yet decided to follow Christ as Savior and Lord. And before we pray for anything else, I want to give you an opportunity to say, God, yes, I want to follow you. I want to repent of my sin. I want to turn away from my sin and I want to follow you as Savior and as Lord. I want to give control to you, Lord, that you be my King. As every eye is closed this morning, if that is you, I want to pray for you first. Is there anybody like that while every eye is closed? Would you raise your hand for a moment? I'd love to pray with you. Father, we thank you that we can come from that place of confidence that we are children of God and co-heirs with Christ. It's the same power that you that rose Christ from the dead, you've made available to us. While I was praying before and as eyes remained closed, I felt that the Lord wants to minister to some people specifically. If you feel you have a word of knowledge that like to share, please come to the front, or a word of prophecy. There's a few things that I felt there's some here, one or more people that if in this last, just not long, maybe a week or so, maybe longer, but I feel somebody has recently suffered a major setback, major disappointment, has knocked you hard. I don't know what it is, but I believe God wants to reach out to you. He says, I know about this. I want to minister to you today. I want to restore hope. Is there anybody like that? Thank you. If you want to be really bold, won't you come to the front? I want to pray for you in a moment. It could be more than one person. Thank you. Thanks so much. Let's pray for you. Can you stay right here? Thank you. And then the other thing I felt that there's somebody with pain in their left shoulder. Or maybe it could also be, I wasn't completely sure, but it could also be, if you know somebody like that, you know somebody that's struggling with that. Is there anybody like that with pain in their left shoulder? Thank you. Can you please come? We want to pray with you. And I also felt if there's somebody that's struggling with pain in their hips, lower back area, anybody else, if you feel something on your heart now, I believe God wants to minister to people. Amen? Amen. Thank you. spend some time praying, and I want us to some facilitators to come forward as well. We're going to be praying. But just before we do that, I believe two things. If you today want to take a stand and say, Lord, I want to fan to flame again the gift of God that you've given me, the spiritual gift that is on my life. I want to see the flame burning bright again. I've maybe relied on human wisdom, or I've maybe stagnated in some ways, but today I want to take a stand and say, Lord, I want to put my trust in you. I want to again urgently desire spiritual gift. I want to urgently pursue love, and I want to pursue a life empowered by the Spirit of God, not relying on human wisdom but on the power of God, not relying on persuasive words or wisdom or clever speeches, but to rely on the power of God. If that's you this morning, where you're standing, won't you raise your hands to God? We're just going to pray together. With every eyes closed. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you see every hand, you see every heart. We repent, God, on putting our trust in man and human wisdom. We repent, Lord, of stagnating. We repent, Lord, of not walking by the Spirit. And in the name of Jesus this morning, we say, we choose to look to you, God. We choose to put our trust in you again. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh with your power, Lord. Fill us afresh with your presence. Fill us to overflowing. Thank you, Lord, not only for drops, but rivers and fountains and gushing rivers of living water flowing from our innermost being. Fill us afresh, Lord, to overflowing. In the name of Jesus, that our default would be to pray in the Spirit, Lord. Our default would be to trust you, Lord, to walk in the power of your Spirit. That we would minister to those that you've put around us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want to come forward and if you want to receive prayer in line with that, please do that. If you have any other prayer need, can I have some facilitators? We're going to pray for these guys in the front here. If you're a facilitator or a leader, please come and join us. If there's any other prayer need this morning, thanks for your patience. You're welcome to leave if you need to, but if you have any other prayer need, if there's a prayer need for healing or for provision, whatever it is, please come. We'd love to pray with you. Amen. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for being here. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.